Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to get that up. All right, there you go. Okay, hello, PowerPoint this morning. So those that are listening by the web, we'll just cover some things for you. Today what we're going to talk about is All the Rest is Just Background Music is the title. And the encouragement is don't get caught up in the weeds of life. And sometimes we can get caught up in the weeds of life. There's a lot of details going on. And we can be so distracted from being in the presence of God, and God doesn't want us to do that. So we just need to concentrate on what God is saying and doing. Now today we have a lot of distractions, or we could. There's been some pouring down rain here for 2 weeks. And as Pastor Mark said, one time it was 40 days and 40 nights, so I'm glad we're not having that. But my yard is pretty soaked, and I have a septic tank. So right now my plumbing is not really usable. So I haven't been able to shower in a couple of days, so I will probably come into one of your homes pretty soon, take a shower. But that could be something you can concentrate on. They could run your whole life. Every single thing could be concentrated around that detail. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, this is happening, it's real, and I need some wisdom, mm-hmm. God, on what to do with it. But boy, I tell you, in the scheme of things, some of these details are so blown out of proportion, and it's the adversary that wants to do that. Now, I want to just take a look at a couple of the things here with me. Life is tough, and there's a little cartoon here, and it shows Charlie Brown. It says, sometimes I just want someone to hug me and say, I understand your pain. It's going to be okay. Here's a coffee and $2 million. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't that be nice, I tell you. So sometimes life is kind of tough. And sometimes things conflict. This was a little list of things. This was an actual picture that was taken of a sign posted. It said, evenings at 7 in the parish hall. And the list just kind of spoke to me about the details of life. At Monday, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. On Tuesday, there's the Abused Spouses. On Wednesday, there's Eating Disorders Group. On Thursday night, there's Say No to Drugs Group. On Friday is the Teen Suicide Watch. And on Saturday is the Soup Kitchen. On Sunday, the sermon is America's Joyous Future. I look at that and I go, whoa, there's an awful lot of fracturing going on here. So someone caught that particular picture and saw quite a difference in that. Here we're talking about all these bad things and these details, and then the sermon was going to be America's Joyous Future. Well, how can you have a joyous future when you get all that junk going on in the background? So I just kind of put this up. Don't get caught up in the details. Get caught up with God. And I love this picture. So the first one is a picture going into the prayer room. And it's a picture of a bunch of little kitties that are walking in a line. And then coming out of the prayer room, it shows a bunch of lions. So no matter what's going on in our lives, being in God's presence, hearing from Him, having the flow of His Spirit in, no matter what is going on, it truly is a lion existence. Because it talks about the Lion of Judah, Jesus being the Lion, mm-hmm. of Judah, and Him in you is going to do that same thing. We do not have the strength and the ability to accomplish what God wants us to do, mm-hmm. and to be. Because we are born broken by what Adam did. All of that is changed by what Jesus did. But it's a process. So quit pointing our fingers at each other. Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't say that, and you don't think like I think, and you don't worship like I worship. Baloney! You are an individual before God. You are cherished before God. You as an individual are loved by God. That's all that really counts and all that really matters. He is raising you up. He is teaching you. He is forgiving you. He is loving you. And what everyone else says really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The accusations, the judgments, the expectations we have one to another weigh us down so terribly. We need to get rid of it. Love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't mean it gives excuse for the wrongdoing. It just means I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to keep pulling that against you. That's between you and God. I forgive you if you've done something wrong. I forgive you. But you can't just say it. You've got to live it. And that's the message that God wants to give us today. I want to review a minute. You have that handout that talks about what's really important to you. And I just kind of, these were a couple of examples that talked to us about some of the details in life. To realize the value of a sister or brother, well then ask someone who doesn't have one. To realize the value of 10 years, ask a newly divorced couple. To realize the value of 4 years, ask a graduate who just graduated. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who's just failed an exam. To realize the value of 9 months, ask a mother who gave birth to a stillborn. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who's given birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask an editor of a weekly newspaper. Things move along all the time. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who's missed the train, bus, or plane. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who has survived an accident. I tell you, that just happened to me recently. It was during a rainy day, and my van was smashed up. That's why I'm driving a rental car. And that 1 second difference, my wheel was hit instead of the side of my van, which could have bounced me around, which may be damaged an already broken situation with my arm. Wow. 1 second. Realize the value of 1 second. Ask a person who survived an accident. To realize the value of a friend or a family member, then just lose one. The point is, time waits for no one. Treasure every minute you have. I was so blessed. I forget who it was. Someone said, thank you, God, for the rain. I think it was you. Thank you, God, for the rain. This rain has been an inconvenience to many. It stops you going out and traveling sometimes. It gets all over you. Just going out to check your mail, you got to get all geared up so you won't be drowning. I have water coming so far up my street. My shed is now flooded. There's water in my shed. It's coming in my back porch. I mean, this stuff is a lot of water. Now, we can look at that detail and be so totally turned off, or we can say, God, thank you. Thank you for replenishing our aquifer. Thank you for doing all the things that you're doing. Now, the southern end of Dale Mabry, I understand, is quite flooded. The southern portion of Tampa and down on Bayshore, I heard on the news as earlier today that there was someone saw a kayak on Bayshore. Somebody was in a kayak going down Bayshore that floods fairly frequently. And somebody else said that Mayor Buckhorn ought to take some of the $23 million surplus that he got from the BP spill. He ought to put a drainage system in down there. But, you know, hey, that's what they're going to do. But these are some of the details that can consume every minute of your life, and God doesn't want it. He doesn't mean that you walk around with a blind eye and go, oh, it's not raining. It's not raining. That's stupid. It's raining. It's wet. And there's all sorts of things happening because of that. But where is your affection? Where is your concentration? And God wants us to understand that. Now, there's an old saying, and this, I don't know who said this, I don't remember where this quote came from, but the person said, as I look back, this is what matters. I have loved and I've been loved. All the rest is just background music. And I went, you know, that's really kind of important, but I'm not talking about the physical love one to another. I'm talking about that God love. That's what I'm talking about when I'm sharing with you today. Wow. And you know what background music is. I mean, you don't... You hear it's in the mall, it's in Walmart, it's in all your little stores. It's just usually a pleasant, you know, background music. You don't concentrate on it. You're concentrating on what you're doing. But it's like background. It's not the detail of your life you're looking at. And that's what God is saying. I love you. You love me. All the rest, it's just details. It's just background music. It's just floating around out there. But here's a point that kind of struck my heart as I was going over this. That works if you're loved and you have loved. That works. You know that saying about all background music. But some people haven't had those opportunities, at least not healthy ones. They've not been loved correctly and they've not had a good opportunity to love. So what can people do? I mean, because sometimes when you share and preach, and I'm preaching to the choir here, people you love the Lord, you've saved, you've given your heart to Him, you study the Scriptures, you pray, you're doing the things of God. But there's a whole lot of people that don't know that, that don't have that. They say, well, then why are you reviewing it for me? Because you are the ministers of the gospel of Christ. You are the ones that need to know what God says and what God means. Not just me, not just our pastors here. You are the ministers of the gospel. You need to have this understanding, this power, these words on your lips, in your life. Your life might be the only Bible that some people read. Your clarification to children, grandchildren, and neighbors might be the thing that turns the light on in them. So even though you have loved and been loved by those in the world and by God, there are some that haven't. So our message to them is, first, don't take the bait. The adversary sees our brokenness. He sees our longing. He sees the things that are wrong. He knows we get caught up in the things that face us. The adversary wants you miserable, looking at what you don't have, instead of looking to the Lord. He wants you looking what isn't fixed, what isn't resolved, what's still hanging on out there. Don't get caught in the weeds of the details of your life. Because very often fear freezes you in place. And in that frozen in place, you can't think, you can't act, you can't live. This is an awesome adventure in Jesus Christ. It's like being out on the Appalachian Trail. You have gear with you, you're kind of familiar with what's going on, but you never know what's around the next corner. You never know if you're going to twist an ankle, fall off the edge, a bear come out of the woods. I mean, it's the same thing with God. You don't know what tragedy is going to come upon you. You don't know what thing is going to happen to you. You don't know what glorious things are going to happen in terms of triumphs. You don't know what horrible things are going to happen in terms of tragedies. It's trusting in God on this journey that is so important, and not all the things that are assailing us. We have to know that love is the answer. That sounds so fluffy. I'm not talking about all that squishy, emotional stuff that we see all the time. That's normal, that's natural. I'm not putting that aside. I'm just saying that's not the love that God's talking about. God says to love as God loves you. And some of our songs, some of our worship this morning was so awesome in terms of who God is. There was that one song that went on about how I love you, how I love you, how I love you. Then you reflect on what He did and the things that you brought up earlier in terms of God and what He suffered. And He knew it ahead of time what was going on, and still He did it. Knowing that we need rescue. We're so full of ourselves. We're our own God. We have to stop that. And in coming to Jesus Christ, it is a submission to someone greater than you. And knowing that when His Spirit is alive in you, it's going to be His love coming out of you, which is going to be totally different than ours. Our love is limited. His perfect love, this is another point that I wanted to make. In that love that He talks about, His perfect love, it keeps it up. It perseveres. It keeps going until it perfects. So you can be sure that if someone has things that are wrong with them, whatever, God's love, remember, love covers a multitude of sin. God is going to deal with them. He's going to bathe them with kindness and mercy. We're ready to whip them. Oh, we're ready to punish, put away, do whatever. God bathes them in mercy, bathes them in love. He draws them, He comforts them, because most people are doing wrong things because they're hurt, because they're broken, because there's something that happened to them. Sometimes you'll pay for the sins of others. Sometimes people will have a response to you because you remind them of something else that was so deep and so hurtful. We got this stuff going on. Whether you know God or not, this is a reality in all of our lives. We're going to run up against this. That's why God's talking about His love. All the rest is background music. That needs to be in the front. And love is always a choice, not a feeling. Always a choice, not a feeling. I'm not going to go over all the specifics on that. I just made that list out. You have it, 1 Corinthians 13. This is what God says love is. Love is not, oh, I want to be around you all the time. Oh, I want to hold your hand. Oh, I want to be with you forever. Oh, I love how you dance. Oh, I love you. That's not what God's talking about. Although I do love your chicken and yellow rice, Helen. You know, yeah, I can say that. But that's not the love he's talking about. And you have the handout on this, and those that are listening, the handouts that I'm mentioning are loaded online, so you can go on this. Love is patient. Oh, that first one always knocks me off. I gotta do a lot of work on that. Love is kind. These are things, this is the mirror you're supposed to be looking at. Is this flowing back? Is this what is manifesting? God's not punishing you if it doesn't. He's just saying, I'm showing you this. I'm telling you this to let you know you're not going to meet these measures on your own. You got to die to self. My kind of love is this kind of love, and this kind of love is going to straighten out every relationship, every family, every business, every government. I don't care what form of humanity it is. This kind of love will make it flow and make it go right. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Oh, good grief. Then how come I get arrogant sometimes? How come I seek my own? How come I am provoked? How can I have this in me? And all God's saying is, I'm not condemning you, Linda. I'm not coming against you. I'm not holding my nose when you do this. This is just the warning signal. When you have those things coming up, it means you're in your own level of love. It means the Adam nature is ruling. You must crucify the flesh. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Oh, how many arguments bring up the list. You said this, you did this, you did that, you said this, you did that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Is that not taking into account a wrong suffered? You've taken that into account. It's stuck in your heart. You haven't gotten rid of it. You either haven't forgiven them or you haven't forgiven yourself. This is where you have to go back to God. All this is a measure. It's a measuring stick. Look, people, this is the best, this is the highest, and I'm not holding it against you because you can't do it. I'm just saying when you see this, know that it's you at work and not me. The stuff that we have will never produce what God can produce with this. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And love never fails. Whoa. You know, I've done many weddings, bunch of funerals. And there's a lot of weddings. They're up there. Oh, I love you. I love you to the end of my days. Oh, you are my soulmate. And they say the vows and they go, God has given you to me. Some of them do that. Some of them are a little more secular and whatever. And they go on and say, we're going to be forever together. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to love you. I want to do it. And it's all like everyone's happy and you got a big party and everyone's dancing and the love is flowing. 2 weeks later. It's like, how come you didn't put the cap on the shampoo bottle? How many times do I have to tell you that? Or, why do you constantly put your coffee cup on the sink? Why don't you put it in the dishwasher? How many times do I have to ask you to take your boots off when you come in from the yard work? You have this truck all the way through the house. How many times have I... And we go through the... I'm picturing you back up front in front of your family and friends going, I will love you forever until death do us part. 2 weeks later, you're looking for the death part, you know. I'm going, whatever. But you see, that's us. Marriage is going to be the toughest thing ever because it's two opposing forces coming together that God's creating to be one. You don't lose your individuality. It's like right hand, left hand. You still stay that way, but you work together. You learn how to work together. That's the oneness, being on one mission, being together. You can't be unequally yoked. If one knows and loves the Lord and one doesn't, you're going to have a real problem here. Or if you got two left hands and two right hands, you're going to have a little problem here too. God knows exactly how we need to do this, but He also knows we're not born able to. It's sort of like He sees us in that wheelchair. We're like paralyzed kids. We're handicapped. But He'll give you the tools to walk. You will be able to walk this walk, but it's in His strength and not in our own. So love never fails. Well, I tell you, if that isn't the big fat signal, when your love is failing, you know it's your love. Reject it. Do not let it rule. Have God's love rule. And then this is a love letter from God. I'm going to read this. This was so powerful and again touched my heart. I had forgotten that we had that posted on our website under one of the things that you can click on. And I just thank the Lord. I am not going to read out what the scriptures are, where they're located. That's on your handout. And for those listening, it's online, so you can check that out. This touched me so deeply. And this is in terms of God saying how much He loves you. So in terms of that first statement I made about if you've loved and been loved, all the rest is background music. When you hear this, my hope is that God's going to touch you so deeply, because every single one of these statements is in the scripture. And it gives the scripture reference on your handout. And this is His love letter to us. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. That's in Psalm 139:1. So as I said, I'm not going to read the rest, but that's just to let you know that's how it's going to go. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. As I read this, I go, God, even in all of my faults and my weaknesses, you still pursued me. You wooed me. You wanted me as part of your bride, part of your life, even knowing all of these things about me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't believe it when someone tells you you're no good. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. For every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. And you can see these scriptures are from the Old Testament and the New Testament. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. God, how can you say that to me, to us, when there's been such failure? This is His love letter to us. The scriptures are a love letter to us. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. If Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. Not that which is sin, that which is perfect. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. That's in Luke 15:7. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? John 1:12-13. Go look it up. He asks that. I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God. Ooh. I hope that those words settle in deep, become written on your heart, just like that thing I showed you where someone typed the entire New Testament on one page in such small writing. Some special machine did that. Well, let the wonderful machine of God write all of this on your heart so that it is there, so that it is imprinted, so it's part of you, not in your head, but in your heart. Not information about him, but transformation in him. Don't let God be the background music of your life. Put him right in the front. Love him and be loved by him, like he says, forever. God bless you.